ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 91. 91 of the report. Yeah, man. Short week. Short week. Your man Span gonna be pretty busy this weekend, so I had to get this episode in a little bit earlier, right? But yeah, man, pretty short week, but it's been a lot of little things going on this week that I kind of want to speak to and give my thoughts, if you will, on a lot of the things that have been going on this week. Yeah, man. of course, if you're new to the show, this is a weekly podcast that I do. You can almost say this is a simulcast because I'm also doing this live on Google Hangouts on my YouTube channel as well. But yeah, man. I'm sorry. Let me just get into this shit, right? Let me just get into it, because most of you guys who are listening to me right now are pretty familiar. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard here on the show. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show, and of course, I'll respond to you in kind. I'm even thinking about doing live calls. I know that's a risk. But I'm thinking about it. So go ahead, call the hotline, area code 313-288-0485, and leave those voicemail messages. Also, you can email the show. The email to the show is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I will reply to those emails right here on the show as well. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Span, Mr. Underscore Span. And if you're on Facebook, you can go ahead and like the Mr. Span Facebook fan page. And yeah, that's how you can get down with me on all three of those platforms. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Mr. Span. Can't miss it, right? Ass Hat of the Week. Send me those Ass Hat of the Week submissions. The email address for that is asshat@thespanreport.com. That's asshat@thespanreport.com. Send me those ass hat submissions, and we will kind of point out some real stupid motherfuckers here on the show. Leave me an iTunes or Stitcher review, 5 stars preferably, but this is one way to really help the show grow. It's another way to let people know exactly how you're feeling about the Span Report podcast, and yeah, man, just it costs you nothing, and it really helps the show as far as exposure and as far as you know, expanded listenership is concerned. So go ahead, go to the Span, go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. And right now, I'm currently trying to get on TuneIn Radio as well. But go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, and please leave me a 5-star review. It would be much appreciated. Please and thank you. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the videos associated with this podcast are available there. All of the video clips or the audio clips that I play during the show, the videos are available on each podcast episode. So you can go there, check them out for yourself. We got polls on the website. You can leave comments on the website. Everything Span Report related, you can find at thespanreport.com. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's been a short week. And a lot of things have been going on, you know, a lot of little things in pop culture and in politics and everything else. You know, you got the Benghazi hearings going on. You got Joe Biden deciding that he's not going to run for president and pissing, you know, well, not necessarily pissing, but disappointing quite a few people off. You got Kwame Kilpatrick trying to get out of jail yet again. Yeah, man. It's been you know, quite a few things, man. But you know what? I had a few random thoughts. I had a few things that were on my mind as of late. And part of the reason why this is on my mind is today I went to the dentist, right? Because I'm trying to get this shit here fixed, right? I'm trying to get that bottom row tight, right? So, you know, one of the things I've been noticing, man, is, you know, since I've been going to the dentist and going to the doctor and everything else, is like, when you have insurance, they hook you up, right? Like, they get all the tests, all the exams, all the drugs. They pulling out all the stops for you when you got insurance, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the dentist not really needing anything at that particular moment, right? It's like they come up with different shit for me to come into the dentist's office for so that they can go ahead and charge that young insurance, right? So today I went in for a cleaning and an examination because they're trying to measure how, you know, what kind of braces I would be eligible for. You know, I was looking to try to get the, like, some Invisalign braces and things like that. It's like, nah, dog. It ain't gonna work for you, right? And he hit me with that young bill. Was like, yo, man, if you want braces, this is how much this shit gonna cost. And it came up to about $3,500. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Hopefully, insurance will cover a good portion of that. But yeah, man, like they go through all of the, like, they pull out all of the stops when you got insurance, right? Now, I've been on the other end where I didn't have insurance, and they basically just kind of give you some aspirin, a pat on the back, and they send your ass along your merry way. They're not really trying to fuck with you a whole lot. You know, I remember one time I had an ear infection, right? And I felt like I was losing my hearing in my left ear. It was like it was slowly going, like just like he was just closing up. And I went to the ER because, you know, that's what a lot of people who are not exactly the most financially stable, they go to the ER to go get their health care, right? They go to the ER, and I just had some medical assistant just kind of go in my ear and look at it and say, oh, yeah, dog, that's infected, right? That's pretty much what it was. Like, yeah, man, that's infected. He gave me some, some type of, you know, drops to put in my ear. And I'm like, all right, cool. Until I got that bill in the mail about 2 weeks later for $752 for that dude to tell me, yeah, dog, that's infected, right? So, yeah, that happened. So, again, like I said, man, they pretty much just kind of pat you on the back and send your ass along your way because they know, man, like the chances are they probably ain't gonna get paid. They not really you know, I know they have that Hippocratic Oath and everything else, but they're really not giving you the best care possible when you don't have insurance, man, real talk. That's why it was so important for Obama to have an Obamacare, or so that we have a national standard as far as healthcare is concerned, because there's so many different people, there's so many disenfranchised, so many unfortunate people who simply don't have the means to pay for insurance. So to have so many more people covered is a good thing, and it should help. We're bringing the cost of some of this care down, man. Hopefully. I mean, I wish they'd gone with the single payer system, but you know what it is. You know what it is, right? Another thing too, man. The last Saturday was not only one of the worst days of my life. No, not really. It wasn't the worst day of my life because of that Michigan loss. But it was Sweetest Day, right? Now, Sweetest Day is one of those Hallmark holidays. As a matter of fact, it's like the king of Hallmark holidays, Sweetest Day. And it was one of those holidays, I believe they said it's something about, it was about giving like candy to senior citizens and kids. And it was made up by a candy company. So that's why I'm saying it was like it was pretty much a Hallmark holiday for real. But it has somehow evolved into like a secondary Valentine's Day, right? And up here in the Midwest, you got a lot of people, especially some of the brothers, who think that Sweetest Day is Valentine's Day for the dudes. Like, Sweetest Day is our day, right? It almost sounds like some of us fathers when we start, you know, when we start bitching about mothers celebrating Father's Day and shit like that, right? But it's funny because, you know, I wasn't even growing up in the Midwest. I'm from Chicago and I live in Detroit now. I didn't even know what the fuck Sweetest Day was until I got to high school, right? And even then, it was like, okay, so there's another holiday where people walk around giving each other flowers and balloons and candy and stuff like that. But then I started hearing later on, like, dudes walking around like, nah, man, Sweetest Day is our day, man. You ain't supposed to be buying her no flowers and nothing like that. She's supposed to be getting you shit. Let me tell y'all something. It is perfectly okay. I'm gonna look dead in the camera. I'm gonna do a Stephen A. Smith. It is perfectly okay for you to buy your woman some flowers, a card, and some candy on Sweetest Day. And I'm going to say it again. You can buy your woman a card, some flowers, and some candy on Sweetest Day. Real talk, man. You can do that. You can do that. Nobody's going to beat you up if you bought your woman some flowers, some candy, and a card. You know, it's. I mean, I get it. It's another way of showing love and affection for somebody that you care about. But yeah, man, like we got into these arbitrary holidays to the point where dudes are just like trying to section this shit off just for them. It's like, nah, man, you can get you know that day isn't necessarily designated for you. That isn't even what the holiday was designed to celebrate. But if you think that you're not supposed to, you know, do anything or get anything on Valentine's Day, then that's your fault, Chief. You better take advantage of all these holidays. Anytime you get a chance to celebrate anything, man, you better take advantage of that shit. Have a good time. Enjoy that time with your loved ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, sitting up here worrying about whether or not you get something on Sweetest Day and whether or not you're supposed to give something on Sweetest Day, man. Again, like I said, it was a totally made up holiday by a candy company. So they can sell you some more shit. It's not, there's really nothing tangible about Sweetest Day. But yeah, man, I know a lot of people on my Facebook were asking, what the fuck is Sweetest Day? And we kind of go through this every year with Sweetest Day, where it's pretty much just a Midwest thing, man. You don't hear about this shit much anywhere else. So yeah, that's some, yeah, that was, that's what happened. Sweetest Day and the Michigan loss, man, happened at the same time. Another thing that I kind of wanted to speak to, and this isn't necessarily a random thought, but it is a bit of news. The Detroit Water Department is helping low-income customers with their water bills, right? Now, I remember, I want to say a year ago, it was real big news for because of the fact that the Detroit Water Department was shutting off past due bills, right? And they were talking about they were targeting low-income customers that... they shouldn't be doing it. It is inhumane. You know, all sorts of different things. Like they had welfare advocates, people were donating water and everything else. And this was international news. This made like news all over the world. But it was interesting to me that how few people were willing to share that the Detroit Water Department was paying up to 50% of people's bills this year. Right. And I shared it a few times and I implored people to share this quite often. I said, look, man, here is an example of the, you know, this assistance being meted out or being handed out and allowing folks to kind of get some relief. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. So I thought it was important to share that news that the Detroit Water Department is currently right now offering 50% assistance for low-income customers in Detroit to save their water service, to keep their water flowing and everything else, man. That's, you know, a bit of good news, so to speak, a bit of good news. We always hear about the bad, man. We're always so willing to hear about the bad shit that's going on. It's good to hear when, you know, things like this are going on. So, and, you know, share it again. If you hear it on here, share it. Make sure you share that information with somebody who can, you know, definitely use it, especially here in the Detroit area, right? Another Detroit related story. Kwame Kilpatrick is in the news yet again. Kwame has been trying to get out of jail. Like, he's been appealing his conviction ever since he got in there, right? And it's to a point, I think Kwame knows he just caught up. But he just doing this shit to piss white folks off. Right? I think Kwame's doing this because he knows white people don't like him at all. Anytime you mention Kwame Kilpatrick's name on like a Facebook especially like if you go to one of the local news channels' Facebook page and they mention Kwame Kilpatrick, oh, you could just see it. It goes down racial lines as to who supports Kwame Kilpatrick and who doesn't support Kwame Kilpatrick. Black folks feeling like some black folks feeling like Kwame Kilpatrick was being persecuted, and to some degree he was. To some degree he was, but at the same time, a lot of that was of his own doing. And then you got some white folks who are just like, this dude is a bane of their existence. They hate everything he stood for. They hate what he did to the city of Detroit. All sorts of things, man. So, yeah, I think Kwame is kind of trolling white folks every time he comes up with one of these appeals. Now, Kwame Kilpatrick has been denied a conviction overturned. I think it's been like at least twice. He's been appealing at least twice, and both of those tries have been overturned. So I think he's trying to go to the Supreme Court in order to have his convictions overturned. But good luck on that, man. Good luck on that. I don't think your ass getting out no time soon, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. You know, it was lately I've been getting a lot of comments about my stance on guns. And this isn't anything new. I've gone through this before, right? I remember when Jovan Belcher shot and killed his, I believe that it may have been his wife, it may have been his fiance, but he killed her, and then he went to the Kansas City Chiefs practice facility and he killed himself there. And I remember again when Sandy Hook happened. And you know, the drumbeat for gun control and, you know, really just like this, the elevated talk of gun control usually happens around something tragic, with guns. And my stance has always been that I think to a large degree that we don't talk enough about the times where a person is actually able to use a firearm to successfully defend themselves. Now, the last episode I did, that wasn't the last episode. I think episode 89, A Clearer Mind, I talked a bit about the many instances here in the city of Detroit where someone has actually used a firearm to protect themselves in a situation where they might not have been, you know, in a dangerous situation pretty much. I had about maybe 7 or 8 different instances just this year, within the last year, of instances where folks in the Detroit area has successfully defended themselves using a firearm. And one of my biggest contentions about the whole talk about gun control and everything else is that usually anytime a story involving guns goes national or gets a lot of attention is when a gun is being misused or when a gun has fallen into the wrong hands or when a gun is being, basically someone's being very irresponsible with that responsibility of having that firearm, right? So this week, what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start highlighting instances where people have used guns successfully to defend themselves, right? And I don't want to get this misconstrued. I don't want people to think that I'm a gun nut. Again, I think there is a valid need for certain levels of gun control. What I am against is gun confiscation and things like that, right? But I do believe that there is a valid reason for us to have firearms for self-protection, right? So just this week, there was another instance in Detroit where a man was being robbed and he was able to successfully defend himself with the firearm. Here's the story.
The victim fights back after he's targeted at a Detroit bus stop.
Now, the man feared for his life and was forced to use his gun. Fox 2's Taryn Asher live with the story.
Yeah, the 23-year-old had officially become a CPL holder a couple of weeks ago. And after what happened last night, it appears just in time.
We're just thankful that he didn't lose his life and he protected himself.
Tremaine, who doesn't want to be identified because his family fears retaliation, says his 23-year-old brother had just finished work Sunday night and was waiting for the bus at Schaefer and West Outer Drive on Detroit's west side when three teens confronted him. One pulled out a gun and demanded his money.
They threatened him and told him that if he moved, they was going to blow him, which is a term for I'm going to kill you or shoot you if you move. And that's what ended up happening.
Well, sort of. We're told one of the suspects reached into the victim's pocket and pulled out $220. The trio became excited about the loot they just nabbed. They became distracted. At that moment, the CPL holder pulled out his gun and fired, hitting the 16-year-old in the chest and the 17-year-old in the lower leg. The 19-year-old took off running.
He was fear of, you know, his life. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know this was going to happen to him.
The 23-year-old CPL holder called Detroit police. Meantime, we're told the two wounded suspects went to find medical help. Sinai Grace Hospital happens to be across the street. They told the ER they were walking down the street when they were held up and shot. But investigators put it together and realized they had their suspects. One of the teens eventually confessed to this crime and others. The evidence may be right there on their Facebook pages. Tremaine, who is also a CPL holder, believes this is a perfect example of why he and his brother have no choice but to carry in a city that is plagued by this sort of crime.
I believe that you should have the right to protect yourself from any danger. This is, we should be able to walk and go anywhere we want freely and shouldn't have to be fear of our life. That's what I believe, that CPL is protecting you from any danger that you may come across.
Now, the 16-year-old, we're told, is in critical condition. The 17-year-old is stable right now. Police are still working to question the suspects. The CPL holder has been questioned and released. No one in this case charged yet. The case still has to be handed over to the prosecutor's office to determine whether this was a justified shooting.
Now, Taryn, no one wants to see teenagers shot, but sad to say, these teenagers have apparently been involved in criminal activity before and even bragged about it online.
Yes, and one of them did admit to police that they have done this multiple times, where they've held up people while walking. So they're almost crimes of opportunity and taking advantage of people like this. But, you know, bad guys, beware. You don't know who else is caring at this point as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people are getting CPLs for this very reason.
Right. And sometimes when you look at stories just like this, you can't blame people. Mm. They're protecting themselves. Now, whether this was justified, that still remains to be seen. But from what we're hearing from the victim's family, police are telling them this appears to be a good shoot.
Sad.
All right. Now, again, that's something that's yet another example of someone using a licensed, registered firearm to protect themselves. It's not a myth. It's not something that is not, you know, that can't happen. This happens a lot. Sometimes it happens in some areas more so than others, but this happens a lot. And I think a lot of times we kind of, in the hysteria, a lot of times with, you know, when we talk about, you know, issues like Sandy Hook and Oregon, the Oregon shooter and everything else, we start, you know, kind of overreaching a little bit. We start, you know, we start looking for reasons why, a way to fix it, pretty much. And I know that's where people are coming from. They're looking for a way to fix it. They're tired of hearing the stories about, you know, mass shootings and everything else. I get tired of hearing that shit. But at the same time, there are a lot of people who are out there every day responsibly carrying their weapons and using those weapons to defend themselves, to defend their homes, to defend their families. So, yeah, man, what I think I'm going to start doing, man, every week is giving you guys a story of someone successfully defending themselves with a firearm. Because that story, you know, that's one of those things that just simply needs to be told, especially in a time where nobody really gets a chance to hear that story often enough. You know, we only hear about, you know, accidents and, you know, the outlier mass shootings. We hear about those all day long. We don't hear enough about the people who have successfully defended themselves using firearms. So every week we're going to get some gun defense news from now on here on the Spanner Report, right? Yeah, man. We got an asshat. We got an asshat of the week, and let's cue this music here.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Now, the ass hat of the week is GQ Magazine. Yeah. Ass hat of the week is GQ Magazine. You know, I was going to make it Anthony Mackie this week, right? I was going to make it Anthony Mackie when he was talking about Donald Trump. You know, there was a he did an interview where he was promoting his new movie with Sandra Bullock. I forget the name of the movie right off the top of my head right now. But they asked him about, you know, whose campaign he would like to run. And he said Donald Trump's. You know, he's an easy sell. because, you know, Donald Trump is a guy who came up from nothing, so to speak. And he backtracked off of that, said it was a joke and everything else. I'm not exactly sure if Anthony Mackie really endorsed Donald Trump. I think a lot of it was just kind of the way it was framed. It was framed to us, you know, through the media and everything else. I'm not sure. Even if he sincerely did endorse Donald Trump, he's like, okay, that's some stupid shit. Cause we know Donald Trump did come from something. He didn't come from nothing. He's not really a self-made man. Right. But, yeah, man, GQ magazine is this week's asshat. You know what I mean? And part of the reason why they are the asshat of the week is because they've taken on this thing of they had Amber Rose come on to GQ, and she was speaking about her slut walk. She was speaking about her feminism, and GQ invited her there to speak on those things. But then they introduced her as, you know, a megalomaniac muse, Wiz Khalifa's baby mama, when in fact she was actually married to Wiz Khalifa. She's actually his ex-wife and the mother of his child. And it was just simply a way for them to kind of belittle this woman as if, I don't know, as if some of the things that she was saying as of now don't have any consequence, right? Now, I know a lot of times people simply just don't necessarily get things in the moment. They don't necessarily understand the privilege that they're operating from in the moment. In much the same way when she did her slut walk, and so many dudes went out of their way to talk shit about the slut walk, to kind of shame these women because of the slut walk, not understanding that their very reaction was the very thing that they were kind of protesting against, right? The shaming of women for being sexual beings, in much the same way that a lot of dudes are being celebrated for being sexual beings and everything else, right? So it was a bit underhanded of GQ magazine to invite this woman to talk about her issue and to then low-key belittle her book and try to just minimize her to a point where, like, the only thing that she is supposed to be known for and is being Kanye West's ex-girlfriend and Wiz Khalifa's baby mama, you know, to kind of just discard her in such a way. And it was a little undercut, man. It was a little undercut. It was a little foul, but it's also some shit where, again, where you operated from a place of privilege and you don't necessarily understand your place and privilege. Oh shit, I'm just all tongue tied today. Your place and privilege. There we go. When you don't understand your place and your privilege, you tend to kind of make fun of these things and not necessarily just sit back, take a breath, and listen, and understand. It's not hard. I know a lot of dudes have a hard time doing it. They don't want to hear shit that ain't got nothing to do with them. But it's not hard to actually just sit back, take a breath, and listen to what somebody else has to say, man. So, yeah, man. GQ Magazine is this week's asshat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. Now, tonight's show is basically, I'm about to get to the meat and potatoes of this shit, right? Tonight's show, I'm going to talk about the police, right? And one of the things that really kind of irks my soul is the fact that, you know, we have the Black Lives Matter movement, who's doing great things, who get, maligned and pretty much they're maligned unfairly. I believe they're maligned unfairly, again, because people don't necessarily understand what's going on, right? Or they do understand and they just want to act as if they don't. But what's happening now is that, you know, we have all of these different examples now of police acting out, right? Now, these are stories that have been going on for quite some time, especially in the Black community. We've known these things forever. Right. Everybody has an instance where even when we didn't do anything, you got pulled over by the police and you're just like nervous and your ass is clenching up like you're on a roller coaster and everything else. Cause it's like, fuck, why do they, you know, what do they want with me? Right. And we've seen, we've had Sandra Bland happen this year. We've had, Mike Brown happen last year. We had Eric Garner. We had, Rekia Boyd. We have all of these different stories, man, all of these different stories where police interaction has resulted in somebody ending up dead that didn't need to be, right? And so, you know, we're starting to see all of these videos come out. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the fact that a lot of police agencies are upset that these videos are coming out. And I got a few of a few clips for some from some recent incidents where the police were kind of being a little underhanded in their actions. But if it hadn't been for the videotape, we would have never known what was going on. Here's a story of the police tasing someone on the city council in the city in which they serve.
Is back in the spotlight. Bland, of course, was found hanging in her jail cell after a Prairie View police officer arrested her for a traffic violation. Now a new incident by the same department has surfaced involving the tasing of a city councilman. Jerika Duncan has the story.
26-year-old Jonathan Miller was on his knees with his hands by his side when he was tased Thursday night by Prairie View, Texas police.
Go over there before you go to jail for interfering, man.
Before using the taser, police warned the city councilman several times to put his hands behind his back.
Hey, he's gonna have to taser. You're not doing like you're supposed
to. God! Put your hand behind your back. Put your hand. What the? Hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
I live here, man.
Officers arrived at the scene to question Miller's fraternity brothers, who were outside Miller's home. Miller came out to ask what was going on.
I'm not trying to be combative or anything.
Okay, I'm not either. I understand that, and you're coming in at the tail end of it. Like he just told you, everything is okay. They already explained everything to me.
But the situation escalated when another officer asked Miller to move away.
I'm telling you one more time, man. Go over there before you go to jail. Turn around.
I'm not saying nothing.
Turn around.
Get your hands off me.
Turn around.
I'm not saying nothing.
Turn around.
Miller was arrested and spent the night in jail.
I feel like I was checking on my line brothers, and I feel like it escalated to a situation where I was tased and it shouldn't have came that far.
But Chief Larry Johnson is standing by his officers, who are still on the job.
In that situation, officers were conducting an investigation. They asked that you step away from the scene and allow them to finish what they were doing out of safety for all concerned.
Coincidentally, the female officer in the body camera video is the same one who transported Sandra Bland to a county jail after she was arrested in July. Bland made national headlines after authorities say she hanged herself while in custody. As for Councilman Miller, he was charged with interfering with public duties and resisting arrest. Jerika Duncan.
All right, all right. Now, you know what was interesting about the fact that that officer was, you know, that female officer who was also on the scene with Sandra Bland was arrested. There's a common theme with her that I think is very interesting. And it's the reaffirming of white authority, so to speak, right? And it's interesting because of this. Like in both instances, she's basically telling these people that you have to do what this man tells you to do. And if you don't do what this man tells you to do, even though it may be unlawful, then there are going to be some consequences behind it. And we saw the we saw how that one white officer with Sandra Bland totally escalated that situation. We even see in this particular instance where she's having this interaction with all of these guys and she says, yeah, we were talking to them. You came in on the tail end of this and we've already established that everything is okay. Now, if everything is okay, why the fuck are you tasing anybody if he's just asking questions? If you're just in conducting an investigation and everything is okay, and this man is standing there and he's observing you pretty much hassle people who were guests at his home, what was the need to tase him? Right? And there was a another video where they were having that conversation and they told her that this guy was a city councilman, and she says, yeah, I know who he is. You know, but at the same time, we gonna do this, whether he's here or not. And if that was it was also news saying that that was supposed to be a drug area, a real high traffic drug area. Here's a city councilman living there in a high drug area, and the police are hassling the councilman and his friends. That's what we're doing. You know, so it's real interesting with that one female officer, though. Like, in both instances, you had this one female officer, an African-American lady, undergirding the authority of two white officers who were kind of overstepping their bounds, so to speak. There was really no need to tase this dude for standing there and watching them observe their duties, especially with him being a city councilman in that particular city. I think this Prairie View, Texas, where Sandra Bland also met her demise. So yeah, here's another instance of police harassment. This happened in, I believe, Talladega, Alabama.
Have I done anything wrong, first of all?
Well, no, we have to ask that, because, see, at night we have to check. And see, we've had a lot of burglaries and thefts and stuff like that going on. We don't know who
you... All right. Notice how he says we had a lot of burglaries and thefts going on, right? Real easy to just come up with some shit when it comes to police officers. I remember when I got arrested in Chicago, they said my car looked like my car fit the description leaving the scene of a shooting. And I was just going sightseeing.
Oh, well, I'm nobody.
You see?
I'm nobody.
You see, look at our job, our parking situation. We don't know what you're doing out here.
Right now, I'm just minding my own.
Well, where are you going?
Nowhere in particular.
Nowhere in particular. It's like you've been running. You've been running?
Yeah.
Just around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you going to?
Nowhere in particular.
You got some ID on you?
I do, but...
What's your name?
Corey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, looks like I'm about to get harassed.
All right. Now, that's an 11-minute and 45-second video. I'm not going to play that entire thing. But they pretty much get into an interaction where the police officer keeps asking this dude what his name is, where he's coming from, why he was running, where you going to, you know, all sorts of things like that. And, you know, it's good that this brother knew his rights, right? I can say that at one point I wasn't necessarily as versed or as diligent about my rights as one should probably be, especially as a black man dealing with the police in America, right? But, you know, part of the reason that, you know, this brother could actually stand there and say, hey, am I being detained? I don't have to provide you with this information. What crime am I accused of committing? Is because of the Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution states that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, again, when that officer rolls up and he says, well, you know, we've had a lot of burglaries in this area and, you know, I see you, so maybe you're a suspect in burglaries. He's trying to establish probable cause, right? He's trying to establish that. But, yeah, it's just another thing where it's just another tool where they use that to try to, pretty much harass people, man. And like I said, it was one of those instances where even when I got arrested, when they tried to make up the fact that they said that my car fit the description of a car leaving the scene of a shooting, when really they just ran my license plate and found out that I was licensed to carry a concealed firearm, right? So, yeah, man, that's one more instance of police harassment when it comes to black folks, right? Now, here's yet another instance of police harassment, this time involving teens at an ATM.
Folks, a young black man was violently detained outside a bank in Washington, D.C. on Monday night. Check this out. 18-year-old University of the District of Columbia student Jason Goolsbee was with a friend, the police officers, who were responding to a call alleging suspicious activity. The police report actually said robbery fear, arrived on the scene and aggressively restrained the scholarship student and musician.
Get off him, because he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing.
A friend of Goolsbee's posted this on Twitter. Today we were harassed and assaulted because someone felt uncomfortable around us in a bank. Black Lives Matter activists and members of the community.
All right. Now, you know what's odd? Well, it is, you know what? It's not even necessarily odd. But, you know, here's one of the things that I think of me and the homie Gates. You know, this is where we kind of disagree on some of the things, right? I remember we were having a discussion about, I mentioned something about respectability politics on Facebook, and homie Gates, you know, me and him, we go back and forth, right? And so, you know, one of the things that were, you know, he, you know, one of the points that Mr. Gates brought up was that, he thinks that, we sometimes, or he thinks that, we could be socially conditioned or with that we could be being socially conditioned to not like police officers with all the information and all the news stories and everything else concerning the police and their handling of black people. And, you know, that the media are drumming up a lot of these stories, right? And that could very well be possible. But the other thing that could also very well be possible is like, yo, these police could be really out of fucking control. And it's just now that we're seeing a lot of this stuff on video, right? And even with people seeing it a lot of times, they're still in denial about it. A lot of people will go into the whole justification of why that particular level of force had to be used, right? So in looking at this particular video with this young kid, I think he's like 18 or 19 years old. He's a scholarship student. He's going to college in Washington, D.C. He's at an ATM. He's got on Beats headphones. He's got on, you know, like he doesn't look like the type of kid who are, you know, if I'm going to rob somebody, last thing I want to be doing is wearing a pair of Beats headphones, right? Some blue Beats headphones, right? He's at an ATM, and they said that there was a fear of robbery. Somebody reported a robbery fear. That I didn't even know that was a charge. Robbery fear. And that those kids actually weren't ever charged with anything. They were released without any charges at all. But it doesn't take much at all for them to decide that today is going to be your day to get locked the fuck up, to get fucked with, right? It's unfortunate to keep seeing this happen, right? Now, one of the reasons that I said, you know, one of the reasons why I decided I wanted to name this show Just Do Your Damn Job is because we see so many times this year where government officials, and the police are really government officials, right? They work for us. Our tax dollars pay for this shit, right? We see so many different times where they just refuse to do their job the right way, right? In much the same way that Kim Davis in Kentucky refuses to do her job the right way. Just do your damn job. What I'm asking for you, especially when it comes to the police, what I'm asking for you is to police the areas in which you serve with respect. What I'm asking for you to do is to investigate crimes ethically, right? These are things that are possible when it comes to police, you know, investigations, police interaction with the public. You don't have to just roll up on somebody and put them in a goddamn figure four saying, get the fuck up, you know, get on the ground, get on the ground. We started with a James Blake who was just tackled by them, you know, he was a plainclothes police officer. We see instances of this happening all over the place. There was another story of I'm drawing a blank of a young man who was killed by an undercover cop who was also in plain clothes, who was driving a van, who didn't have any of the markings of a police officer on him. And yet, you know, we get word that yet another instance of a police officer overstepping their bounds with someone or with a person of color. Yet another instance. But the thing that kind of worries me is the fact that the police are complaining about the coverage that they're getting. They think they're being beaten up. The police have all of a sudden become victims in this, right? And far be it from me to cry any tears for the police and their victimhood in this instance, right? Especially when the vast majority of the people who are killed at the hands of the police really find no justice. That a lot of times the police aren't indicted. That a lot of times the police are put on administrative leave, which is basically a paid vacation, and they're allowed to come back to work as if nothing had ever happened. We start seeing stories about officers who had many different reprimands, who had many different accusations of police brutality and just overstepping their authority, and yet they're still on the job. And then the big story happens, and now everybody's aware of them. And then you look back into the records like, wait a minute, there have been complaints against this guy for quite some time, for years. He's been operating with impunity. We had a guy, they called him RoboCop. I don't even know this dude's name now, but there was a story about him, kicking a carjacker or something like that. I hate that I'm drawing a blank on a lot of these things now. I really am. I hate that I'm drawing a blank. But what happened was he was notorious for beating niggas' ass while he was arresting them, right? And they called him RoboCop. That was his nickname, right? And yet these police officers, these police unions, are constantly complaining about the coverage that the media has given them as far as they're overstepping their bounds, right? Now, it's interesting. Rahm Emanuel, mayor of the city of Chicago, my hometown, Rahm Emanuel says that the fear of being recorded is actually making his police department a bit reticent to actually even do their fucking jobs because they're scared to be video recorded and that story going viral and their actions being scrutinized. Check this out.
If any chef deserved to be called an artist, it was Grant Achatz.
We will not be advertising that shit. Oh, damn. Never try some new shit on your show, Spam. If anybody's ever had this, yeah.
Also making news, police call it the YouTube effect. Officers constantly being recorded with cell phones. Over the weekend, Mayor Rahm Emanuel was quoted as saying, "We have allowed our police department to get fetal, and it is having a direct consequence." Days later, that statement is still drawing a strong response. Here's CBS2's Derek Blakely.
He's long blamed gangs and guns for Chicago violence. But today, Mayor Emanuel pointed to a new cause, less aggressive policing.
It is having an impact on the safety we want to see throughout the city of Chicago.
Emanuel says police-related riots like those in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Baltimore, combined with citizens recording cops on cell phones, has produced a chilling effect.
Officers themselves were telling me about how the news over the last 15 months have impacted their instincts. Do they stop or do they keep driving? When I stop here, is it going to be my career on the line?
But before today's Columbus parade, the head of the police union disputed the mayor's conclusion.
Are they performing a little differently, maybe a little bit more cautiously, but I don't think they're standing down. I don't think that they're not engaging in police work because they're on tape.
And the mayor's comments proved disturbing to residents in Uptown, where crime has spiked within the last month.
They should be coming around here. It doesn't matter what the predicament is, even if we can videotape it.
I'd prefer them to engage where they should and not have anything to be afraid of filming. If you're not...
FOP Chief Dean Angelo says record gun seizures and a heavy flow of arrests belie any notion that Chicago police may be lying down on the job. But a far different reaction from 9th Ward Alderman Anthony Beal, one of the African-American city council members who want top cop Gary McCarthy fired. Beal says the mayor's comments simply back up what black aldermen charge, that police aren't doing their job. But of course, Rob, the mayor is standing behind Gary McCarthy.
The mayor said he was going to be honest. It sounded honest. Do you think it was too honest?
It may have been a touch too honest. He did say, hey, I'm just speaking frankly here. But it's hard to see how his comments really benefit anybody. Mm-hmm. Citizens can be chagrined thinking they're not getting full police protection. And police officers may be insulted by the insinuation that they're not being as proactive as they should be on the streets.
Okay. Derek, thank you.
All right. Now, you know what's interesting is the fact that usually when, you know, the police stop you and you know you've done nothing wrong, right? The police stop you and they're like, well, if you've done nothing wrong, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Isn't it interesting how some police officers, because some of the officers, I think the head of the FOP in that particular story kind of took umbrage at the fact that the mayor of Chicago was saying that a lot of the Chicago cops were lying down on the job. But if you're not doing anything wrong with the camera being on you, you don't really have anything to worry about, do you? Do you? See, the thing of it is that, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of these police officers aren't necessarily used to the accountability. And that's all anybody has ever really been asking of the police departments these last few months. These last 15 months, man, all anybody's, that whole Black Lives Matter movement is simply about holding these motherfuckers accountable for the shit that they do. That's it. That is all. So to hear that maybe the police are talking about, hey, man, I don't do my job, you know, because, you know, somebody might be videotaping it and they may get misconstrued and then I'm gonna be on YouTube and everybody's talking about me and everything else. Hey, man, do your fucking job. That's all you're required to do. Do your job. In much the same way that everybody else is required to do theirs. You don't have to violate people's rights in order to do your job. You don't have to overstep your bounds in order to do your job. I know a lot of people tend to think that, you know, that's acceptable, especially with the police, man. You know, and here's the thing. I think the thing that really gets people pissed off about the police is simply the fact that we keep hearing about all these good cops, the good cops who aren't saying shit, who keep letting things like this happen. That's what people get upset about. The fact that we have these so-called good cops who aren't saying a damn thing when bad cops are out here fucking up. That's just simply what it is, man. A lot of people just, they're tired of hearing that shit. Real talk, man. It's time for the listener feedback portion of the show. And we got a comment on the website. Elizabeth writes in to say, the Second Amendment simply needs to be repealed. You should not, as a private citizen, have access to an arsenal of weapons. I'm sure the founding fathers of this country didn't intend for you to have access to that kind of weaponry that people have access to today. You know, hold on a second. You know, it's...
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Understand this. You know, it's funny when people start talking about, like, the Second Amendment needs to be repealed and everything else. Like, okay, would you want the First Amendment, you know, repealed? Because, well, here's the thing. You wouldn't want the First Amendment repealed because you exercise that amendment every day, right? You take solace in the fact that you're able to say pretty much whatever it is you want to say, especially when it comes to the government. You can actually criticize the government and not be locked up and everything. Now, that's pretty much what the First Amendment is to keep you from being persecuted by the government for being critical of the government, to say what you will, so to speak. That's why we have freedom of the speech and freedom of the press, so that we can speak truth to power, right? So you like that amendment, You know, the founding fathers got it right with that amendment. The Second Amendment, you would like that to be repealed. And part of it is because, and I think a lot of people who are who echo your same sentiment is the fact that you probably aren't using guns at all, right? You don't see a use for them for yourself, right? You don't see a use for them for yourself. So the fact that somebody else would find use for them, like myself, like the young man who successfully defended himself because he had a pistol on him on the west side of Detroit just this week. They find use for it as a way to preserve life for themselves, right? A lot of people are only getting guns to protect themselves, right? As far as like the, you know, like I said, as far as like the weapons that people have and everything else, man, I'm pretty sure the founding fathers didn't see a whole hell of a lot of shit that we do today. I mean, you think about it, abortion is a right now. It wasn't when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, right? But that is a right that women have now that they did not have before when they wrote the Constitution. And women rightfully so. Love that. Well, not I can't, because it wasn't an amendment, but they have that right, as they should, to be able to have control over themselves, have control over their bodies, to have agency over that, right? In much the same way, a lot of people feel that way about their guns as a means to protect their life. In much the same way a mother would have an abortion if she, you know, like, you know, you have I hate that I'm even making this comparison, but when you have a mom who's pregnant and their pregnancy is problematic, and by having the baby, that could also end her life, right? So she decides that she's going to have an abortion for the preservation of her own life, right? She doesn't want to lose her life bearing a child. And she has that right. We've given her that right. Like, that right has been given to her by a Supreme Court decision. Supreme Court decision, right? So she's been given that right. When a person has a gun or is a Second Amendment proponent or whatever else, most people are using that gun as an insurance policy to protect themselves. That's why I have mine. That's why that man on the west side of Detroit had his. So as far as repealing the Second Amendment, I know, you know, a lot of left-wing, you know, anti-gun people go to that, but I just think a lot of it is simply because they don't see the use of guns. They don't understand how often it is used to protect someone. I know you can go to a whole lot of different websites and it'll tell you different. I've read a lot of them, and sometimes I question the credibility of a lot of them, especially when you don't hear anything on the opposite side. I've said that about the Huffington Post. I've said that about Mother Jones. I've said that about a lot of left-leaning publications when it comes to gun issues, and it always sends, you know, the coverage always tends to skew one way, and we don't necessarily hear the opposite end of that spectrum, which is the many times that people have used those guns to defend themselves. So I think the founding fathers, although they may have talked about a militia, you know, in the Second Amendment, at the same time, they said that the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. And I am fully exercising that. I am fully exercising. So again, Elizabeth, along with you and Rebecca, I vehemently disagree with you. I understand that you have concerns, but I just simply disagree with you. You know what I mean? That's pretty much where I'm at with it, Elizabeth. I'm sorry that we can't come to some form of agreement. You know, it's funny. I guess it's not so much funny. I'm in the minority. I know that. I'm in the minority when it comes to my listenership. I'm in the minority when it comes to this issue. When it comes to guns, I mean, that's pretty much where it is. If I had this is probably the only thing that I would agree with Republicans on anything, really. And not even all of the shit that they're talking about I really agree with. But at the same time, like the full-blown confiscation and the, you know, confiscation of weapons and the repeal of the Second Amendment and everything else, like, okay, y'all, go, y'all, you reaching, you know. But thank you, Elizabeth, for writing into the show, and I hope to hear from you again soon. Thank you. Also, I think we had a poll. No, we didn't. No poll this week. No poll this week. But I did get an email. Let me pull my email up. Got a lot going on over here. All right, I got an email from the homie Reggie again. And Reggie writes in to say, what up, Span? I hope you've recovered from that epic Michigan loss, bruh. I'm going to tell you this, man. Like, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Michigan loss. I mean, that's pretty much everybody, what everybody's been talking about here. I know Jemele Hill did some shit on the His and Hers podcast because she went to Michigan State. You know, I saw that. You know, Mike Valeni of 97 won the ticket here in Michigan. He's a Michigan State grad. So, like, all the Michigan State grads, all the Michigan State people are, like, really, they've been cooking all week off this win, man. And it's, you know, to me, it's like, all right, man, act like y'all used to winning. Y'all been beating us. Y'all done beat Michigan 7 out of the last 8 years, man. Act like y'all used to this shit, right? You know, and I think, excuse me, I think that kind of speaks to the fact that they know they got lucky as, they got lucky as shit on that last damn play, man. Real talk. Let's see. That was a bananas ass play. All that kid had to do was fall on the ball, and that would have been the game. Shit got to hurt, dude. I know. Keep your head up, my nigga. Trust me, I'm good. I'm straight, man. I'm a little tired of hearing about this shit. I'm good. Understand this. I'm a Michigan fan, but I went to Tennessee State, homie. I went to Tennessee State. So, you know, I've been a Michigan fan pretty much my whole life, but, you know, I'm not all broke up like a, you know, a Michigan student would probably be, even though I would be considered a Walmart Wolverine because I didn't go to the school and I root for it, though. But, yeah, man, I'm all good, but I appreciate you worrying about my well-being, bro, real talk. See, I'm hitting you up to ask you about the Million Man March. What are your thoughts on it, and what do you think about the lack of media coverage about an event that massive? Well, with the Million Man March, man, I thought it was a beautiful thing to see a lot of black people come together in a way of solidarity, in a way to show that black people can assemble in large numbers and there be nothing but positivity, so to speak. You know, I remember there was a time where I would listen to Louis Farrakhan and agree with everything he said. But as I've grown up and as I've, you know, evolved on a lot of different issues, there's some things that I think that Minister Farrakhan says that are problematic, to say the least. I don't necessarily agree with, all, you know, his stance on women. I don't necessarily I'm not with the I'm not with this so much regressive type of attitudes that we have as far as how we treat our women, pretty much. That's I'm not with that particular aspect of Louis Farrakhan's message. But the economic empowerment, I think, is something to be applauded. The boycott that he's proposing, I'm wondering how many people are really going to take that up, right? I'm wondering how many people are really going to take that up. It's an ambitious thing, and I'm just wondering how many people are really going to take that up, whether or not it's going to be one of those passing things that we talk about and not really put into action, right? As far as the media is concerned, when it comes to the Million Man March, I think TV One was carrying it live. I'm not sure because I wasn't watching it, but I think that they were carrying it live. I know Roland Martin, who actually used to work for my cousin in Chicago at WVON, I think Roland Martin was broadcasting during the Million Man March, and I know he did a podcast about it. I know it was like three podcasts over the course of not only that day, but like leading up to and afterwards that he did. So I'm not sure exactly if they did it live, but BET didn't carry it at all, which is disappointing. But at the same time, when you think of the fact that Viacom owns BET and BET's programming has pretty much been shit for quite some time, it's not surprising, unfortunately. It's not surprising to me. And I don't even really watch BET outside of maybe the BET Awards. I don't really watch that channel much anyway, so I don't, you know, I'm not surprised they didn't carry it. But at the same time, I think even when we talk about, you know, mass media and everything else not showing these images, of course they're not going to show it because it's counterintuitive to the narrative that they want to spread about black people in this country, and that's that we can only loot and tear shit up, right? That's part of the narrative, especially when you watch CNN and they show CVS being burned 8 hours out of the day. But they can't show this, right? Now, what I will say is that this is a perfect example as to why we should start really, really, really supporting independent media, YouTube channels, podcast, you know, people who are really out here trying to inform everyone, right? And a lot of people are doing this on the humble, doing it for free, doing it, you know, out of their own pockets and everything else. I think this is really an opportunity for, you know, a lot of people to really start embracing independent media, because, you know, a lot of times when it comes to mainstream media, they're picking up on what the independent media is already telling you, right? Social media is already telling you how these stories are unfolding. Only the one caveat of that is that sometimes you have to really, really, really kind of vet the stories that are coming out, right? But at the same time, I think this is the perfect time for us to really push for independent media and to back independent media, especially if it's something that you find informative. So, yeah, man, as far as the mass media is concerned, I'm not surprised that they didn't show it. But at the same time, it's still disappointing that they didn't show it. But it goes against their narrative. It goes against their narrative. So, yeah, I hope I answered your question, Reggie. I hope I answered your question. Thank you for writing in, brother. It was good to hear from you. And I hope to hear from you again soon, brother. Real talk. But it's almost time for me to get out of here, y'all. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to hit me up here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show and, of course, respond in kind. You can also email the show here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. And, of course, I'll read those emails and respond to those here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. And you can also go to Facebook and like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. But on Twitter and Instagram, it's Mr_Span. So follow me on those platforms. Ass Hat of the Week submissions. If you have any ass hats, you got anybody we need to be making fun of here on the show, send it to asshat@thespanreport.com. That's asshat@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails. And, of course, we will make fun of those people right here on the show. You can send me I would like to ask of you that you give me a 5-star review, preferably on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and let people know what you're thinking about the show, man. Let them know how you feel about the show. It's one way to help the show grow. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's a favor to me. It's a favor. Could you do that for your boy? Real talk. Birdman hand rub. Yeah, hook that up. 5-star reviews, iTunes, and on Stitcher Radio. And for all your Spirit Report needs, go to thespiritreport.com. www.thespiritreport.com. Everything's available right there on the website. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I got to get out of here. I got to get up early in the morning. Got to go to work. So until next time, fam. Peace.